Okay. And I hope Moshe got the information as well. Okay, we are going to Be'ez Hashem, do our final shiur on our Hakdama topic tonight. Our final shiur on the end of Maseches Gittin, Daf Tzadi, and hopefully next week we will move to the beginning of Maseches Gittin on Daf Beis. As I mentioned already, when we do the beginning of the Masechta, we're probably going to blitz through a few Dapim of just Gemara, and then we're going to pick our spots. The beginning of the Shakbatai Maseches Gittin doesn't really necessarily lend itself to the easiest analysis as far as in Iyun Limud goes. And this is a well-noted problem, it's not just our problem, but the Tosfos in are quite, quite rich. So we're going to go through a lot of Shakbataya and we'll make observations along the way. And then we're going to pick out particular Tosfos in. We're going to mine those Tosfos in and use those to expand into some of the key and fundamental sugyas of Maseches Gittin and beyond and other Shas sugyas as well. But for now, we have one final night on Gittin Daf Tzad. And once again, we're going to focus on Shitas HaRamba. I mentioned already last week that in last week's shiur, we did a comparative analysis of two Rambams. We looked at a Rambam in Nefesh Gershon and another Rambam in Nefesh Yisra'ibia. We compared and contrasted them. I was arguing that the differences between them indicated two different conceptual components to the halachos that we are talking about, one pertaining to interpersonal sensitivity, the other pertaining to Kedushas Ishus. But I also mentioned that there's a lot of internal analysis to do within this particular Rambam. The Rambam that appears in source number one, Gershon Parakin Alach Kabbalif, is not only interesting in contrast to the Rambam in Nefesh Yisra'ibia, it is internally quite interesting as well. We started to touch on some of that analysis, and hopefully we'll be able to do more of it tonight. Let's start with actually source number three. Source number three is a source that we have seen, I don't even know how many times already, several times already. But tonight, we're going to have to pay much closer attention to it than we have in the past. We start with the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi that recorded the three-way machlokas Tanaim that we started with, or that we didn't start with, but that has been a central feature of our analysis in discussing mitzvahs gerushin. Source number three, Mishnah. They shamay say, lo yigaresh adam es ishto, ela imkein matzava ervas davar. One cannot divorce his wife unless there is, devar erva, unless he found a devar erva. So throughout, I've been saying over and over again, for simplicity's sake, we're going to assume that devar erva means infidelity, actual adultery. Tonight is the night that we are going to challenge that. We're going to see that it does not necessarily mean infidelity in the strict and narrow sense, but it can expand beyond that as well. And that will be very important for our analysis of Shita Saramba. But whatever you define erva as, Beishamai holds, erva is necessary. Why? Again, the nuances here are critical for us. Shene'emar, Beishamai quote a pasuk. What is the pasuk that Beishamai quote? Ki matzaba ervas davar. We noted at the very outset, when Psukim and Parshas Kisetz describe divorce, they preface it by saying it is a scenario of ervas davar where erva has been found. Ubeisil omrim, Beisil will say, afilu hikticha tafshilo, even if she burns his dinner, shenamar ki matzaba ervas davar. Beisil quote, what do they quote? What pasuk do they quote? The exact same words as Beisham. If you remember, the Gemara goes on to explain that according to Beisil, erva and davar are not the same thing. Ervas davar, if you just read the Pshuto Shel Mikra, you would think is one single item. But Beis Hillel learned that ervas and davar are two separate things. It could be erva, or it could be another davar that she does to spite him. So she burns his dinner in an act of protest or in an act of spite, moment of spite. That is sufficient as well. Rabbi Akiva says, afilu matza acheres na'a himena, even if he found someone else more appealing to him, Shenamar, because the pasuk also says, "V'ha'yal im lo simta chen be'ena." The full pasuk is, "V'ha'yal im lo simta chen be'enav ki matzava ervas davar." But Rabbi Akiva bifurcates the pasuk and he says, "Even if he just found somebody else more appealing, that satisfies im lo timta chen be'enav, and then he can that is grounds for divorce as well." That's the three-way machlokas tanaim. And again, we've discussed many of the ramifications of this machlokas. Is it halacha? Is it just it's a tova? Are there exceptions? Are there not exceptions? When would the exceptions apply? When they not? So that we've all analyzed, but that is the basic Mishnah. Then the Gemara qualifies, the Amoraim qualify. We also noted that there are two ways that in the Mishnah Melech, there are two ways to understand this in the Gemara. Are they qualifying the Tanaim, or are they really almost acting separately from the Tanaim in terms of how we paskin? But again, we can leave all of that aside for now. The second paragraph, source number three, reads, Ki sanei shalach, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im sanei sa shalach, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, sanui hamish alayah. We have this pasuk this is not a pasuk in Torah, this is in Nevi'im, but where the Torah says, Kisane Shalach, the Navi says, Kisane Shalach, Rabbi Yehuda says, if he dislikes her, if he detests her, he can send her out. Rabbi Yochanan says it's the opposite. If he does so, he is hated. He is hated by Hashem. That's our Gerson. The Gemara, we know there were two Gersons, but that's our Gerson. Below Pligi Habazivu Grishon Habazivu Kshein. The Gemara said, they don't really argue. One is talking about Zivu Grishon, the other is talking about Zivu Ksheni. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's perfectly okay, is talking about Zivu Ksheni. Rabbi Yochanan, who says you should not, is talking about Zivug Rishon. Okay? That is the qualification in the Gemara. So we have a three-way machlokes tanaim, and we have a distinction in the Gemara between Zivug Rishon, which is more severe, where the proper parameters for divorce are more constricted and confined, and Zivug Sheni, where there is more leeway, there's more space for halachically licensed gerushin. Fine. That's the Mishnah and the Gemara. We turn to the Rambam, source number one. Now, again, I know we did some of this analysis last week, but let's just re-engage the analysis today. How does the Rambam pass in this Gemara? I will read and translate the Rambam. Lo yisa adam isha v'dayto l'garsh. He starts by saying, you should not marry with intent to divorce. That's something that we focused on extensively, the Gemara Yivam Mustaf Lamed Zayin. Lo tiyat yoshevas tachtav u'misham shaso v'dayto l'garsh. She also should not be living with him, and he should not be Meshamesh. We noted a Machlokas Achronim as what Meshamesh means. Does it refer specifically to Tash Meshamita, or does it refer to serving him in other ways as well? That we discussed last week. But he should not engage, he should not continue to live as a husband and wife with her serving him if he has intent to divorce. And then the Rambam paskins our Gemara. Velo yegaresh adam isha rishona, Ela imkein matzaba ervastava. You should not divorce your first wife unless you have erva. Shene'emar, as the pasuk says, ki matzaba ervastava. What's the pasuk that says? He found an erva matter. Ve'ein ra'i lo lemaher l'shaleach ishto rishona. And he should not be in a rush to divorce his first wife. Aval shnia im sene'ach yishalachem. But a second wife, if he detests her, he can send her away. What are the problems in this realm? Some of them subtle, some of them glaring. I have at least two issues with this realm.
Gemara is not quoted the way, maybe, you know, it's Dvar Erval or Ervat Davar. Those are not the same.
What do you mean?
In other words, the Gemara says, according to Beishamai, Elam came matzaba duvar erba.
Okay.
And the words are switched to be exactly like the pasuk.
Okay. It's definitely note. Look, whenever there's a formulation in the Rambam, it is worth considering and thinking about. The Rambam went over the Mishnah Torah many, many times. It was very precise with this language. Here, I think the bigger kasha would be on the Mishnah than on the Rambam, right? In other words, the Rambam is adopting the Lashon of the Kra. He's adopting the Lashon of the Pasuk. It's interesting that the Mishnah has Devar Erva, right? Yeah, but noteworthy. Well, to me, I wouldn't say it's problematic. Let me put it that way. Is it noteworthy? Yeah, of course it's noteworthy. But yeah, exactly. I wouldn't label that something problematic. Yeah.
What is the concept of Lamaher to do with finding Erva Davar? I mean, if you find it, it's there.
Okay, so good.
I mean, what are you waiting for?
Okay, good. So Yale hones in on that second line, on the second line after the comma. The Rambam just told me, okay, that in the case of Zivug Rishon, divorce is justified only in instances of Ervas Dabba. I was going to say Dvar Erva, but Arya, thank you. Ervas Dabba, right? Ervas Dabba, the Rambam says. And then a moment later, the Rambam says, and don't be in a rush to send out your first wife. Now, how exactly do those two lines correspond? How do they work together? In other words, the Rambam just got finished telling me that divorce is only appropriate in the instance of erva. And now he's telling me what? Even in instances of erva, I shouldn't be in a rush to divorce? Or is he saying that that's just in Rosh Lamahir is just kind of another expression of the fact that you need to wait for Erva, but then why is he adding it, right? This whole ein ro'i lo lemaher is strange when you consider that the previous line gave you the exact defined parameters for shiluach, for gerushin. Give me 1 second. And it would seem quite odd to say that when those parameters obtain, when those parameters are in place, then you shouldn't be mamaher. We would suspect that if there's ervas dabar, you should absolutely be mamaher to be magarish. So how do these two lines of the Rambam work together? A couple of questions on that.
I think maybe 2 months ago. Were there Adim? Did he find her?
Okay.
Is there a rumor?
Okay, good, good. So we will touch on that. What you're alluding to is if you look in source number 5, which we're probably not going to see inside tonight, just to save time, the Chalkas B'Chalke kind of goes in the direction that you're going in. And we'll talk about that outside. Maybe, what exactly does Erva mean? There were two Adim that saw. That's very rare, right? So there was one aid. It's just a suspicion. So maybe the Rambam is referring to some of those circumstances where you don't have a smoking gun. You don't have bona fide proof. Maybe that's what the Rambam is referring to. And again, the Chalkas B'Chalke makes that argument. So Steve, you're in good company. Is that my preferred approach in the Rambam? But it's the Chalkas B'Chalke, so you don't need my approval. Yeah, go ahead. The Ervas. Okay, great. We're gonna get back to that also. That is my preferred approach in the Rambam. Okay. Maybe. Okay, I hear it. Okay, we'll get back to that. Yeah.
Maybe it's more of a, I'm sorry, more contemporary thinking that the Zivuk Sheni, if they hate each other, he hates her, it's okay. But if you hate your first wife, you can't divorce her. So could it be that the Lamaher is dealing with, if you hate your first wife, don't rush to divorce her. Maybe
the Rambam just said a second ago, you shouldn't divorce her unless there's erva.
I know, but it seems odd that he wants you to live together with someone you hate.
I'm not saying the Rambam wants that. He doesn't wish ill upon you.
You can't divorce her.
But yeah, he's telling you that is the circumstance in which gerushin is appropriate.
It's bad for children, right?
Whatever arguments may exist, right? According to what your read of the Rambam, there's a redundancy here. The Rambam first tells you only in cases of erva, and then says don't rush. So what is the second line adding beyond the first? Right,
maybe I'm taking the second part with you can divorce the Zivuk Sheni if this.
But that's not what he says. He says Ein Roi Lo Lamar L'Shalayach Ishto Rishona. Right, there's just a redundancy in the Rambam.
Don't let the facts get in the way.
Sorry,
don't let the facts away the good story. Right,
maybe what do you got?
I think they're two different cases.
What are two different cases?
Yeah, I think more like David. In other words, to be honest, which I think. The second case, Ainlo, whether the Ma'alishlav is the Rishon, has to do nothing to do with Erva.
But then what it, in other words, he just told you that you can only be Megarish Ishto Rishon in cases of Erva.
Right. He said, right, but I think it has more to do with.
So just like cross out the words Ishto Rishon and then you're set. Because you're not wrong. Yeah, we'll see approaches that kind of go in that direction as well. But obviously, you need to define precisely what the difference is between the cases. That's one problem in the Rambam. To me, there's a much more glaring problem in the Rambam. That's to me my number two problem in the Rambam. Robbie remembers the Chazaron last week.
The second wife's a whole different standard.
That's in the Gemara already. The Gemara's had that feel between Zivuk Grisha and Zivuk Sheni.
But then again, is that second wife is because they're both wives at the same time?
Okay, fair question. Whatever. Again, so that could be in the that can exist in the Gemara and in the Rambam too. But that's not a problem in the Rambam. The Rambam is still following the Gemara's lead on that issue. No. Ari.
How do you kind of reconcile that he shouldn't be living with her with intent to divorce, but at the same time he then goes, says right after that,
what's the problem there?
You can't divorce her unless you find Ervas Dabar, but at the same time, you shouldn't be living with her if you have intent to divorce her. It seems incongruous. If you don't like her and you want to divorce her, you should be living with her, but at the same time, you can't divorce her because there's no.
Okay, so you're saying it's an interesting point, not one that I thought of, but let's just work it through. In other words, you're saying that if he's only having intent to divorce in instances of erva, right, then of course it's usher to continue living together, is your point.
That, and also if there isn't erva, then he shouldn't be. The Rambam is saying he shouldn't be living with her.
But if there isn't erva, then he should be living with her. He shouldn't have to ask the garish at all.
Right. But if he does have to ask the garish, he should.
So again, I would say that either okay, it's a fair point. It actually fits some of the analysis that we're going to do soon. I'll hold on to it. But one could have given the simple answer that maybe he's talking about Zivuk Sheni.
Right.
Right. You could have said that. I'm going to make an argument. I didn't think of your question. I admit it. It happens to fit very nicely with the analysis that I'm going to suggest tonight. So we'll get there. What's come on? There's a glaring problem in this.
You're saying that the whole ratio of the Rambam is by Zizuk Shein? Is that what you're saying?
In other words, Ari's point is when would you ever be Misham Shas of a Daito Lagarsha? Right? Only in an instance of Erva. So if there's an instance of Erva, then of course it's Aser L'sham Shas of a Daito Lagarsha. So either you say it's during Zivuk Sheni, or you could say, like again, like in the view of the Chalkas Mechokik that we saw last week, that maybe Misham Shaso doesn't mean an Isser, doesn't mean Be'ila. Maybe it just means other things. You could have said that too. That's another option that you could have said. So again, I don't think you need to say that it's within Zivuk Sheni, but again, just to address that Kasha, it's one possibility.
Yeah, but then the whole thing doesn't make sense.
The whole what doesn't make sense?
If you can't stay married, if you can only divorce if there's a Erva, then there's no concept of being Yisa the Vedat Lagarsha. There's no Dato Lagarsha. If she's there, but you have to divorce her.
Yeah, that's Ari's question. Ari, that is Ari's question precisely. In other words, you right. That was exactly Ari's Alkowitz's question. That was precisely his question, right? So I said maybe it's in case of Zivuk Sheni where you don't need Erva, right? That's just an Ukimta. But I don't, as I'll explain soon, I don't think we need to go that far. That's a different halacha that you shouldn't get married with intent to divorce. Again, that was a whole different sugya. That was the sugya of Yivam Aslam and Zayin. Right, and also don't get married at the outset with intent to divorce. That's also wrong.
It's not wrong. It's not
you're saying that he's again. In other words, the point that you're both making is that then he'd have to have intent for there to be erva.
Yeah.
Right. Or again, or the Rambam is assuming that, again, either you'd say Zivuk Sheni, or you would just say that perhaps people sometimes marry with intent to divorce, and that doing so is inappropriate, even irrespective of the proper parameters of divorce, which is a separate conversation as well. You're right. He'd be doing two things wrong in this scenario.
Is it clear that the Rambam is passing like the
Shaman? Okay, good. That is the glaring problem in the Rambam. Look at the Rambam's psak. What is the Rambam passing on this issue? We saw three in Machlokas Tanoim. In general, as a general rule, if you paskin like Rabbi Akiva, are you in good standing? Rabbi Akiva is a good person to paskin like, in general. Not always, but again, we have a general principle. Halach Rabbi Akiva mechaveru v'lo mechaveru. You have a one-on-one. Rabbi Akiva can take anyone in a one-on-one. When you have a majority against him, then we paskin like the majority against him. Rabbi Akiva, you're in good standing, you're paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Paskin like Beis Hillel? Yeah, you're almost always in good standing if you're paskin like Beis Hillel. Who does the Rambam seem to paskin like in this issue? He seems to paskin like Beis Shammai, which is inconceivable. Again, this is not one of the rare exceptions where we paskin like Beis Shammai. So the Rambam... Okay, good. So we'll get there. But that might be what you have to say. But if you look, the Rambam seems to be adopting the approach of Beis Shammai. If you look at the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, okay, Shulchan Aruch changes one slight thing from the Rambam, okay? And I will preface this in advance by saying the Shulchan Aruch's change could be purely methodological, as we noted in the past. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are different svarim, but it could also be quite substantive here. Look at how the Shulchan Aruch passes this issue. You should not divorce your first wife unless you found ervas davar. And he should not be in a rush to divorce his first wife. But his second wife, if he hates her, he can divorce her. What's significant about the Shulchan Aruch? He doesn't quote the pasuk. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam almost verbatim here. He quotes, he's copying and pasting the Rambam. But what does he take out? He takes out the pasuk. Why? Because when the Rambam quotes the pasuk, that is invoking whose interpretation of the pasuk? It is Beis Shammai's interpretation of the pasuk. As we will see in a moment, if you don't quote the pasuk, you can get out a lot of these issues. But when the Rambam quotes the pasuk, he really seems to be pasuking like Beis Shammai. So if you just turn to source number 11, I just noted a couple of noteworthy features in Shitas HaRambam. Number one, who does the Rambam hold by? The language at the beginning of the Rambam implies that he holds like Beis Shammai, especially because he appears to quote Beis Shammai's interpretation of the Pasuk. The Rambam is really, again, just lifting Beis Shammai's Shita from the Mishnah and putting it into the Mishnah Torah. Number two, what is this don't rush business? After the Rambam says that one can only divorce in instances of Erva, he then says that one should not rush to divorce. What does this add? And then finally, Zivuk Sheni, the Rambam uses the language of Sne'ah when describing Zivuk Sheni. Whose opinion does this accord with? They're going to focus on that third question less. The first two questions are really glaring problems in the Rambam. So broadly speaking, the Achronim offer two approaches in the Rambam. And before we go through any of the sources, 4, 5, 6, 7, let me just try to describe approach number one outside. And I confess to you in advance, there is a little bit of an involved cheshbon here. You really have to kind of like think clearly about the different opinions in the Tanaim and the Amoraim. It does get a little bit confusing. I will try to present it in as lucid a fashion as I can. Approach number one goes back to the Gemara and forces us to rethink the parameters of the Machlokas Tanaim entirely. We had a three-way Machlokas Tanaim, right? We saw a three-way Machlokas Tanaim. We also saw a distinction between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni that was mentioned not by the Mishnah, but by the Gemara. Now, let me ask you a question. When those three Tanaim argue, are they arguing about Zivug Rishon or are they arguing about Zivug Sheni? Where does that Machlokas Tanaim apply? Not entirely clear from the Gemara itself. You can plausibly read the Gemara either way. So one approach in the Achronim is the following. Really, really, by Zivug Rishon, everybody agrees. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva all agree that it is only, there's only Gerushin in the instance of Erva. Everybody agrees that there's only Erva in that case. Minus the exceptions that we spoke about where it's mutually agreed upon and things like that. Fine, that's a separate conversation. But really, fundamentally, all three Tanoim agree that by Zivug Rishon, it is only in instances of Erva. Where is their Machlokas? By Zivug Sheni. So what is the Rambam effectively doing? He is paskening. He's paskening like the opinion of either Beis Hillel or Rabbi Akiva. But when did Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva ever say their opinion? They said it by Zivug Sheni. That is one approach in the Rambam. Now, it does leave certain problems. What problems does it leave? For example, it leaves the problem of the quotation of the pasuk. In other words, this approach is much easier to read into the Shulchan Aruch than it is into the Rambam. According to the Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch just says it's usher by Zivug Rishon except by Erva, by Zivug Sheni, and Sneya Yishalachan. It doesn't quote the pasuk. So it's possible to say that in the Shulchan Aruch's read, all Tanaim agree that by Zivug Rishon it's only Erva, and they argue about Zivug Sheni, that's where we pass in like Beis Hillel, that's where we pass in like Rabbi Akiva. But what does the Rambam do? The Rambam almost digs a hole for himself. He quotes the pasuk of Ki Matzah Ba Ervas Davar. Whose pasuk is that? That's Beis Shammai's read of the pasuk. You can't plausibly tell me that, oh, everybody agrees in that case. If you really agreed, if you're adopting Beis Shammai's read of the pasuk, that is the source of their dispute, that is the source of their argument. So the Rambam's quotation of the pasuk makes that read very, very difficult for the Rambam. And if you look in the Achronim, they try to get around it. They try to deal with the pasuk. Here, if you look at the Beis Shmuel in source number 4, Mashma the Sphere Alei Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Pligi Bezivug Sheni. It appears to me that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, he's quoting on the Shulchan Aruch here, disagree by Zivug Sheni. It's only by Zivug Sheni that Beis Hillel say that you don't need actual erva. Second line, mishum davar, ukra ervas davar. I read Zivug Sheni. He says that the pasuk of ervas davar must be dealing with Zivug Sheni. That's where Beis Hillel say that you are allowed to divorce. Can the Rambam plausibly say that ervas davar is dealing with Zivug Sheni? Can the Rambam say that? No, why not? Because he explicitly quotes that pasuk regarding Zivug Rishon. So while this approach is a very appealing approach for the Shulchan Aruch, it very neatly answers the questions, it does not really help for the approach of the Rambam. Within that approach, I'll just note parenthetically, Steve, because you brought it up, what does the Beis Shmuel, what are the Chalkas Poli, what do they do with that additional line of Ein Lo Lamahir? They say that, again, really the Rambam passes that you need Erva and Ein Lo Lamahir, the situations where you still don't need to divorce her, like the situations that you described. Source number 5, the efshar she'af ritzona isha she'az ein iser b'davar mikol makom ein ra'i lasos kein. We said that according to the Chalkas Pekulik, according to many of the Achronim, if they mutually agree, then there need not be erva, right? So maybe what the Rambam is telling you by ein lo lemaher, that you shouldn't be in a haste or in a rush, means that even in other scenarios, they haven't both agreed to separate. There's no erva. Even then, the Rambam says, hold your horses. Don't rush into this. Think about it once or twice or three times before you do it. Or alternately, he says, O Yesh Lomar, She'avim matzah ba ervas davar kagon sheheyed law. Second line of source number five. Echad sheheyed law echad. There's a mitzvah. There's an eight echad. She mitzvah legarsha lo yomer ani mamin lo. You don't have no chiyuv to believe in eight echad. You don't have to rush to believe his. Maybe he's slandering your wife. Maybe take trust your wife instead of trusting the stranger. Legarsha miya. Don't divorce immediately. Don't be in a rush. Just believe some guy's slander against your wife and divorce her. So maybe there are other scenarios that don't have strict erva that are the ein lo l'mai. Okay, so again, I don't want to get into this now. Eidach anem and bisurim. First of all, we have a principle of eidach anem and bisurim, right? Eidach anem and bisurim. What you're referencing is ein davar sheva erva pachos b'shnayim is what you're referencing. We're actually going to get into eidach anem and bisurim. As I said, we're going to focus on tosis in the beginning of Maseches Gittin. There's a tosis already in that base of an aleph that has some very important principles about eidach anem and bisurim. Eidach anem and bisurim is a shas topic. It's not just a Gittin topic, but we're going to talk about it a little bit. But the more relevant piece here, and again, I definitely do not want to get into this now, but this is a really a first parak of Ksuvah's topic, which is we have a principle of shavya anafshe chaticha b'isurim, that if he chooses to believe the eidach anem, and even though you're correct, even though technically speaking and based in ein davar sheva erva pachos b'shnayim, if he chooses to believe the eid achad, then she is asuritin. She is asuritin. Okay? Fine. So it says the Chalkas B'chalkik, don't be in a rush to believe him. Like, you know, maybe trust your wife a little bit. That's what the Chalkas B'chalkik says. But again, as much as that's a compelling approach within the Shulchan Aruch, I don't think it's such a compelling approach within the Rambam. I think a much more compelling approach in the Rambam is what I think Yitz was suggesting before. What does the Rambam mean when he says ervas davar? Does ervas davar mean infidelity? Or perhaps when the Rambam says ervas davar, he means something more expansive. And perhaps, according to the Rambam, Beis Hillel's indications of marital strife, their scenarios that they describe of marital disunity and disharmony, maybe for the Rambam, that can be elevated to the level of ervas davar. We're going to see that is the approach of Rav Soloveitchik on this Rambam. It's already earlier in the Achron. If you look in the Beis Shmuel, source number 8. Ela imkein matzava ervas davar. Source number 8. The Rambam misayim shenamar ki matzava ervas davar. The Rambam says that this is based on the pasuk, and he's going to note our problem. If you're quoting that interpretation of the pasuk, then you are pasuking like Beis Shama. So says the Beis Shmuel. Ucha ora kasha. He says, that doesn't make sense to me. Tah Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel pligo b'haikra. Because Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel argue about the interpretation of this very pasuk, second line of source number 8, second word. U'Beis Shammai spiro lehu, dafka mishum erva u'megaresh. And Beis Shammai are the ones who say that the pasuk means that it's specifically if you have erva. Im kain, posek, ke Beis Shammai. If so, the Rambam is passing like Beis Shammai. And then the Beis Shammai asks our second question on the Rambam. And what is that additional line of Ein Ro'i Lo L'Maher, which is adding nothing? It doesn't seem to make much sense. So says the Beis Shmuel. After the Tofes Lishna Dekra, source number 3, maybe he is taking the Lashon of the Pasuk, and again, actually, Arya, your deal here would actually fit in the analysis of the Beis Shmuel. Ervas Davar, he's taking the language of Ervas Davar. But what does the Rambam mean by Ervas Davar? Behainu Erva O Davar Kibes Hillel. When the Rambam says ervas davar, he doesn't mean divar erva. He doesn't mean infidelity, narrowly speaking, the way Beis Shammai used it. The Rambam is using the term ervas davar more expansively. And within ervas davar, the Rambam is including the scenarios described by Beis Hillel as well. Any devolution in the marriage, and any dissolution or again, deep disharmony and disunity that devolves to the point that she's trying to spite him and he's so worked up about dinner that he's ready to walk out, at any point that the marriage has reached that, according to the Rambam, that is within the broader framework of ervas davar. I knew erva davar kibes hillel. Mishum hachi kasav ein ro'i lo l'maher. Says the Beis Shmuel. That's also why the Rambam says ein ro'i lo l'maher. Because now ervas davar does not refer exclusively to infidelity. If it did refer exclusively to infidelity, would the Rambam tell you don't be in a rush? No, then the Rambam would tell you be in a rush. If there's real infidelity, then just get out of there, right? But now that ervas davar is more expansive and it doesn't refer exclusively to infidelity, the Rambam's telling you, slow down. Your dinner is burned. It's going to be okay. You're going to survive. You'll find something to eat, okay? So don't be in a rush to end the marriage? He answers both questions within a single mahalach. Oh, because of the fact that he says Ervas Dabar. 100%. 100%. And I will make an argument for why I think the Rambam does highlight it that way. I think it is the best read. I'm not saying that, like, you know, I'm not saying there are no kushios here. In light of the Rambam's quotation, to me, this is a far more glot read than the first read of the Rambam, which really, again, eviscerates the pasuk. In other words, I think it's certainly more plausible than saying the Rambam passes like Bishamai, right?
It turns out the Rambam's
passing like Basila. Correct, correct. And then we're in good standing. Then we're okay.
Using Basila's terminology, Erbas Dabar.
Exactly, correct, exactly. It's precisely the point. Says the Beis Shmuel in source number 9, again, this is just building on what he said before. We don't need to get into the nuances of that. Look at what the Taz says in source number 10. This is really what I'm driving at. He takes what the Beis Shmuel says and takes it a step further. He says, "Who's Sfirale?" The Rambam holds the Eino Mutter. It's only Mutter. Ela Be'inyan Shepisha Kenegda. In an instance where she does something to spite him. Again, hatichat tafshilo doesn't mean that she's not the best cook. It means that she's deliberately trying to spite him. And what does the Taz say? Tzeh hava kemo erva. This fits in within the broader category of erva. Now, fine. So we have our read of the Rambam. The Rambam says dvar erva, but he's really being more expansive. He's including the broader category of dvar erva as defined by Beis Hillel. And that's why he adds, ein ra'yu lo lamaher l'shalva, because Lagarsha, because it's not explicitly or overtly or exclusively instances of infidelity. It could be even just a Ktichat
Tavshila. It can't be broadened because it includes the other category. Back to Yael's question, I think, from my ear, is an indication that, only when it's something that is behavioral thing, when it's something of a piece of what we term Erbach, that, That must be.
But that's precisely the point, Henry. In other words, the Rambam is using the term Dvar Erva to not refer to Erva the way we've been using it and thinking about it all along. The Rambam is saying that even just a broader breakdown in their marriage, in their relationship, is, to use the language of the Taz, Kimo Erva. In other words, I would argue that if there was an actual case of infidelity with Edim, the Rambam would not tell you, oh, slow down, in Roy Lolamah. When the Rambam says in Roy Lolamah, it's an expansion of the term Erva. In other words,
expansion
excludes.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but I think they're both true. No, I understand what Henry's saying. It's an exclusion in the sense that I don't think Ein Ra'yu Lolamah here applies to actual erva. And that, I think that's the way you're using exclusion, right? But my point is that the reason why the Rambam says Ein Ra'yu Lolamah here, because the term Dvar Erva means other things as well. That's what I mean by expanded, okay? Dvar Erva can just mean a breakdown in the relationship, and that's where it's Ein Ra'yu Lolamah, okay? So.
Maybe just the word the aim, love, doesn't have to be and, it can be or. She has two cases. One is Erbas Dabar.
Okay, that's like a...
Or the other case.
That's Mosif Dabar. I don't even think you need to go that far. I think even if you interpret it as and, I think it's still plausible. In other words, the Rambam is saying that Ein Ra'yu Lolamahir. Now, again, if there's actual Edim that testify to infidelity, then that's not really being Mamahir, that your hand is forced, right? But in something less than that, slow down. That's what the Rambam says.
Maybe the Taz is saying that if she's so spiteful, that we'll call the Erva, then maybe she'll do the next step of having...
Okay, but again, I don't even think you need to go that far. The Taz is saying that it is Kamo Erva as is, okay?
That fits nicely with the whole Rambam.
All
of the ideas he's saying are you shouldn't have... It's unseemly for him to be married to a woman that he doesn't have the intention of staying married.
Right.
And he's saying that this is like Erva. It's like...
And then... It's all within the broader theme of expansion of Erva, broader theme of Erva. 100%. Now, again, I'll add that fits nicely with the interpretation of this Rambam that I was projecting last week. This Rambam is about Kedushas Aishas, right? As opposed to Isurei Pia, which was dealing with the interpersonal loss. Now, okay, so we're obviously not going to finish all these sources tonight, and there are certainly some. We don't need to see all of them. We don't need to see 12 through 20. I definitely want to see 20 because 20 is a really nice. No, again, we're not going to see it tonight. We're probably going to see it next week. But 20, we definitely need to see, and then we'll get to that phase. 20 is a really beautiful hashkafic exposition of this whole idea from Soloveitchik that appears in Family Redeemed. Family Redeemed is a volume of essays that the Rav wrote. They actually never published them. He wrote a number of manuscripts on family and interpersonal relationships, and then they were posthumously published in the volume Family Redeemed. And he does address this Gemara. He gives a lumdus on our Gemara in Family Redeemed. But the big question for us is going to be, why does the Rambam choose to present things this way? So fine, we have our resolution of the Rambam. We understand how the Rambam can be read, okay? But as Danny was pointing out, it's a very circuitous way of communicating the point. And it's misleading, right? El Dachonim are bothered. We were bothered by the fact that it seems like the Rambam is passing like Beis Shammai. And it seems like a very unclear way of presenting the Shita of Beis Hillel. So why does the Rambam do it that way? So here is the question that I want to raise in analyzing that. And we'll start to frame the parameters of the question now. And Bezer Hashem, we will do the last part of this year next week. And we will hopefully also begin Daf Beis. But here's how I would frame the question. We saw three Shitos in the Tanai. We saw three Shitos in the Tanai. We saw Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva. Who represent the polar extremes in that machlokas? Beis Shammai and Rabbi Akiva. Beis Shammai and Rabbi Akiva. Beis Shammai said only Erva, however Erva is defined. I said tonight we're going to expand Erva for Beis Shammai. Next week we will expand Erva for Beis Shammai. So you have Erva according to Beis Shammai. Rabbi Akiva says, Afilu Masa Acheras Na'ahimen, which means that Beis Hillel falls in the middle.
Why is that in the middle? It would seem the extreme. She burns his food.
That's more than Rabbi Akiva, who just says he decides he likes somebody else better.
I think that's more common.
It's not a question of commonality. It's a question of which one's more extreme, right? Beis Hillel is at least maintaining that she needs to do something against him, especially if you assume that according to Beis Hillel, it's deliberate, it's with intent, right? Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, you know, again, he just finds somebody else and he's off and running. When we have middle shitos, this is a broad methodological point. We always try to make methodological points in this year as well. When you have three shitos and you have a middle shita, it is often worth questioning where that middle shita falls out. Is it really in the middle? Is it a third totally independent view that has nothing to do with the other two? Is it closer to one pole? Is it closer to the other pole? And might we have a machlokas, frankly, as to how to view the opinion of Beis Hillel? If I were to ask you, where does Beis Hillel lie? Is Beis Hillel in the middle of Rabbi Akiva or Beis Shammai? Or is it closer to Beis Shammai or closer to Rabbi Akiva? What would you say?
It's intentional. It's
closer to Rabbi Akiva? I would have said closer to Rabbi Akiva. Intuitively.
Intentional?
Yeah. Do you think burning dinner is infidelity, Ari? It's just that bad.
Breakdown.
Okay, good. So you're already thinking in Lumdish terms. I intuitively would have agreed with Mashi. I would have said that it's more akin to Rabbi Akiva. And we'll see that Yerushalmi holds that way. I think the Rambam holds that Beis Hillel is more akin to Beis Shammai. And that is the argument that Bezer Hashem we will make next week. You could definitely bring Gemaras. I'll also make copies of... Oh, hold on. I shouldn't end this yet, right? You could certainly... David, if you want to bring a Gemara, Masechus Kittin, you could definitely bring a Gemara. I'll also, Bezer Hashem, have copies of just the Tzuras Hadaf.